welcome back to another edition of Hey, How'd You Get That Music Job? I am your host, L. Ariel, wishing you the happiest and peacefulest and merriest of holidays in the next few days with friends, family, loved ones, whoever you happen to be with this holiday season. I know 2017 has been a bit of a crazy year, that's putting it mildly for a lot of us, but again, I hope that you can end the year on a positive and peaceful and safe note, surrounded by the ones you love. That's my wish for you. So here we are, last podcast of the year. Again, we are at musicjobspodcast.com. That's musicjobs with an S, podcast.com. And we're on all the streaming platforms. And I hope you had a chance to listen to our last interview with Tim Hare, who was a total rock star. He's a bass player for a couple of bands, got to tour in the UK, then came back and started working behind the scenes for VIP tours, was hanging out with Wiz Khalifa, became a personal assistant to Mick Jones of Foreigner. I mean, just amazing. These great rock star stories. It was so fun. And now he's working at a music library and he's also a composer. So just really good stuff. You can hear his stuff on SoundCloud at Franchised Youth. That's his handle on SoundCloud. So be sure to check that out. Okay. So as you know, we're all about music jobs, music careers, jobs in the music industry. Hey, how'd you get that music job? So I wanted to actually share an opportunity with you that came across my desk from the famous company. They are a music blog website straight out of London, and they actually have opportunities for U.S. music bloggers and journalists. They pay in concert and event tickets. So if you like going to free music shows and you really enjoy writing about them, I think this could be a great opportunity for you. So just go to thefamouscompany.com, thefamouscompany.com, and check it out. And also let me know if you do end up blogging for them, because I definitely want to read all your good stuff. So I'm so excited to bring our final guest of 2017, Chase Bradley, aka Chase Flow. I'm so excited for you guys to meet him and hear his story. He is a man of innumerable talents. He's the rap artist Chase Flow. He's got a debut EP out called Go Chase Flow, which you can find on Spotify, chaseflow.com, iTunes, all that good place. Good stuff. He's toured all around the world performing with other high-profile artists. He's also a songwriter, producer, and composer for film and TV. Everything from longtime programs like The Young and the Restless to blockbuster films like Ride Along, starring Kevin Hart and Ice Cube. He's currently writing and producing an album for artist and actor Wavy Jones, who will be playing Biggie Smalls next year on USA's Unsolved. So be sure to look out for that. And he's also co-writer and a guest star on my single, Valentino, which you can listen to on my website, lariel.music.com, or Spotify or iTunes. There's my little shameless self-promo. I think it's a pretty good collaboration, if I do say so myself. So, you know, I love to play music of my guests right before the interview, so I'm going to introduce this track. It's called Pursuit by the one and only Chase Flow. Check it out. No, I'm destined to make it.
Waiting on my someday, might come one day, yeah. Can't wait too long, I'm too hungry, I wonder when will I make it, I know I got this dream, but where will it take me, I'm getting older, yeah. This world getting colder, gave me a cold shoulder.
Hey, Chase, welcome to Hey, How'd You Get That Music Job? I'm so happy you could be here.
What's up, of course, always a pleasure to be rocking with you, with the band.
My special guest, and it's such a perfect way to end the year, and I'm really grateful that you, I know you're super busy, you got a lot going on, and we're going to hear about that, but just really grateful that you are the one that's going to finish off my year, so you're going to make it a good one, right?
That's right. We ended the year
no pressure.
Was that last year when we did the Viper Room?
No, 2 years ago. It feels like last year.
2 years ago.
2 years ago, right. Yep. Viper Room,
we
baby.
We're saving each other years off. What's going on? Talk to me.
All right. So I love to hear just how people get started, like kind of their first impressions of music, like what kind of household, what was like your first recollection of music growing up, that kind of thing.
Okay. So like pretty much like with me, I grew up middle child, three of us total. So I was the middle kid and older brother, you know, he was very into hip hop music. And that's kind of where I got my origins or influence of being into hip hop. And then, you know, my mother and father, they were really big, you know, into like gospel, soul, and like jazz. And, you know, just kind of having those mixed genres, you know, it just like kind of really just influenced just how I heard and interpreted music. So just growing up in that diverse household as far as just a mixture of different stuff, you know, of course, it just became a part of who I was as a person and my whole journey. And then that's what led me on, you know, some of my years later in my teenage years, you know, getting into music. And then, you know, just from the being an artist myself to, you know, having an ear for production and yada, 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 it just kind of, you know, took from there.
So talk to me about that a little bit. Like in high school, how did you start to figure out, okay, music is what I want to do? Like what kind of pulled you towards it?
So with me, like, it's funny. Because a couple of people call me I'm a late bloomer. To be honest mm-hmm. with you, like music was never the number one thing for me. Music was always just something like in the back burner. We're just like, all right, it's something I enjoy. I'm all right at it, I think so, but it was just something that I never really thought or wanted to do as a career. I was more in high school at that time, and I was more into sports. I played basketball, and basketball was just, you know, that was my thing. I had hoop dreams. So, but the thing was, it was just like, I would, you know, all right, so to go back a little bit, I think in my eighth grade year, my brother, he was in a hip-hop group. They were like a local-based group out of Philly called Infinity. And Infinity, they had this really, really wide buzz. And they were like more so like on the Christian hip-hop circuit at the time. And about like, you know, around, let me see. Anyways, they pretty much like they had a strong following, you know, throughout the city. And they were, this is, you know, before all the social media stuff was into play. And they just had this really, really strong buzz that they would just go around like to these different churches and they would just have this really, really bomb performance. And mm-hmm. so for me as a kid growing up under that and seeing it, it was just like, wow, like this is so cool. Like it's one thing to, you know, watch MTV and BET and all those different type stuff because you see them on TV, but it's like, all right, you're not right there. You know what I'm saying? I can't talk to these people. I can't touch them. So it's just like, all right, that's just kind of far-fetched to me, whatever. But to be actually up close, like, and I would go in their rehearsals and I would see them, you know, rehearse. I would see what their management took them through, you know, on a workout tip and just their daily regimens of why they were good when it came to the live show. And then getting in the studio and making these recordings. And just being around that, you know, my brother would allow me to, you know, go to the studio in different places. That really inspired me and really was just like, wow, I like this. And so from there, you know, I just, you know, continued to, again, just follow under that. And just, you know, I was a part of, you know, that whole journey of them growing as artists. They went on to, you know, do some really, really amazing things. They were signed with Christopher Martin from Kit and Play.
Oh, wow.
And then Matthew Knowles actually did something with them, Beyonce's father. And then, you know, they did some things like MC Light. And then Mace, the rapper, like Mace actually took them on a little promo tour with them, with him when he did the Welcome Back album. And,
wow.
So just to see them, like, grow and climb. And, you know, over the years of just, you know, doing everything locally and just, and, you know, the process of just, like, how people reacted to their live show and how they would pack out venues and, like, have, like, thousands of people there. Just, it was, like, really something like, wow. And so that's what kind of moved me, you know, to really kind of just, like, you know, to have the courage at least to, you know, step forth. And then when I just kind of seen I got the encouragement that I was a good writer, that's what really inspired me to just continue to keep, you know, going. And then as I went on, I graduated high school. Like I said, and I played basketball throughout that time. It was my freshman year in undergrad. I got hurt, and then I ended up, you know, not making the team. And so then when I, uh, at after that first year, I ended up leaving the school and coming back home, and then I got a job working back in Philly, and then I kind of took that whole circuit, and I know that music was something that was still in my heart. I just was like, it just was never number one, but I went on, and then once I was working, I got it serious, and then I got with one of my cousins back in Philly, and he was one of the people who kind of really inspired me to just, you know, take it to another level on a recording tip. So they had a recording studio back in Philly. He would allow me to come in there, and, you know, I would, you know, pay him a couple dollars to engineer me. And then I just was like, you know, I was, like I said, just having that musical ear. I would just always just be listening to beats before, even if I wasn't just rapping, but that was just my thing. So then he would just give me, like, all these different instrumental tapes. Like, you know, back then in Philly, like, on the East Coast, we had these things, J.R.'s mixtapes. So J.R.'s instrumental mixtapes were just like the beat tapes were like all the like the hottest songs at the time was the instrumental versions of them. So mm-hmm. I just had like a load of those, and then you know, and then the J.R.'s mixtapes would be, you know, something that we would just all rock out to. So I would just like just write like countless raps like just all the time like to these different instrumentals that I like that, you know, stuff that you hear on the radio. And then from there, you know, I was able to you know, like I said, just get in there. And then, you know, he taught me just like some of the techniques. My cousin did. He taught me some techniques on, you know, how to record and, you know, songwriting and things like that. And then over time, you know, that turned into my first mixtape, which was called Reality Rap Volume 1. And then from there, I just kind of caught a bug and, you know, was doing shows. And I just kind of never stopped ever since. And that was about 2006.
So were you ever writing for your brother's group, or no, it was always writing for yourself, like out of the gate?
It was always writing for myself at the time. I mean, because, and the thing was, I was actually, like one time we had like a cypher, I guess they called it a battle, I don't know. But it was like me and these other little kids, and mm-hmm. like I said, I was about like in eighth grade or something like that. And like I said, I knew how to rap just because I was listening to it, but I wasn't a real rapper though, and I used to steal my brother's raps like when it came to this site because I knew all his stuff by heart. So it was like, I used to recite his lyrics when it came to like these battles and stuff like that, and that's when I realized that it's like, oh man, the thing is like because like sometimes like I will butcher it, but then over time though when I got it down to memory, I was able to take it into my own, and then over time. You know, I was short, and then that showed me that it's like, okay, like I have good delivery, I have good performance skills. So that's what really like encouraged me, like I said, to you know, become an actual rapper and then write for my own stuff. And then, you know, as time went on, I progressed, and then I just developed my pen, you know, and from there. And then I think one of my favorite subjects. Well, at the time, it actually was in school, but I hated English, but then I ended up being real good at it. Mm-hmm. And one of my teachers, that's what I think, that was the day, shout out to Ms. Shaliga. She was my sophomore year English teacher in high school. She really encouraged me, and I think that's changed my life as a writer. When she, you know, I had to write some kind of piece, and she was really saying it was really moving and really heartfelt. And I think from there, I think that's what really kind of changed my mindset on just how I write stuff. And I know just with a lot of stuff that I write, especially like with music, like I think that's probably like one of my favorite type of styles as far as like in songs is like writing like real heartfelt music and something that's just like that people feel. So I think it was that conversation in 10th grade that I had with one of my English teachers that really encouraged me to just continue to keep going. And then
that's really cool. And I mean, hopefully she'll hear this. But so in terms of self-promotion, like, can you talk about that a little bit? It's like you had your first mixtape and you obviously had some contacts and stuff, but how do you put yourself out there? Like, especially at first, like, how did you start kind of making a name for yourself?
And I mean, and see, back then, like I said, my first project I released in like, you know, 2006. So this was before, you know, like social media was really taking off. But we had MySpace. MySpace was around. So I would use that platform of, you know, just, you know, doing the stuff up there. And then Reverb Nation, I would utilize that. And then I would just more so just, you know, go out. And then because I knew a lot of friends and through my connections that I had in the church, and, you know, like with the different youth groups and stuff like that. And like I said, that was just the kind of music that I was writing and I was doing. So I would just, you know, ask them, it's like, hey, I'm working on this. You know, is it cool, you know, if I can come to your venue and perform, you know, at this segment? And someone would say yes, someone would say no. And then over time, it was because, you know, one person saw this and then, you know, my affiliation, oh, okay, my homie is doing this. You know, he would invite me to come out with him and say, oh, hey, you know, you want to share one of your joints? And then that's how it kind of happened, where it was like, you know, I would just do one set with somebody and then from there it just kind of became like a thing like that. And then once I kind of got repped, that it was like, oh, that's so-and-so's little brother. Like, oh, he does that stuff too. He does rap. So it was kind of like a thing, like, and it was kind of a pressured thing, to be honest, because it's like, all right, well, you better be just as good as them. Like, cause if you're not, and you already know, like, Philly is a hard crowd. Like, Philly is rough. So, but no, it was all love. And, you know, and so, like I said, I would just get out there, and that's how I really utilized the self-promotion. And just, you know, just with my connections through different friends and the internet, I would just, you know, send different people my stuff. And then my job that I had, I used to work for the airline back in Philly, US Air, and I would utilize the benefits that I had in my job that I was able to fly for free. Nice. I was able to just, like, you know, develop relationships and say, okay, well, look, this weekend I'm going to come to Atlanta. You know, if you guys have something where we could just meet, we could talk over, you know, lunch. I was able to just do stuff like that and then just, you know, have a book a flight to go out there and meet up with this DJ who was pretty big and then, you know, whatever he needed. And then, hey, this is my project. And then, you know, that's how it kind of was like. So just really taking that road of self-investment, which I'm still doing now, even as an independent artist. So,
Did you ever struggle with doubt? Did you ever struggle with, like, you know, I know you said Philly's a tough town, but, like, did you ever? Because it just sounds like you were so focused. Like, even with the B, you know, the B job, you were like, it's a means to an end. It enables me to get flights to, like, it just sounds like you were super hyper focused.
And the thing was, it's just because I made up my mind and I told myself that, you know, no matter what I do, it's just, you know, this is my job, but my job is going to work around what it is that I'm trying to do for myself. And I think that because, you know, just the whole thing of, you know, just having that instinct where it's just like, you know how you just get that feeling like when you get a job, like, man, I hate my job. I just can't wait. Like, oh, man, if I could, I would rather be doing this. So you just sit there and you daydream. And I would feel like that. And though, like I said, I had some really amazing perks and had some really cool friends, but I just knew that in my heart, it was just something that was more for me. I didn't know what. Like I said, I was just coming out of high school at the time. Now, I was really kind of discouraged because of the whole basketball thing that didn't really work out. But I just knew that that wasn't the means to an end for me. I knew that it was more to life than just that. And so as I just began to, you know, just mature, like I'm coming into this new phase of life. I was, you know, about like 17, 18 at the time. You know, just figuring out life and just getting out there and doing that whole bit. I just, you know, I just kept that sense of hope and encouragement and, you know, just coming from, you know, like I said, my background as I do with my family, my mother and father, you know, they just always encourage all of us, you know, to just really just focus on, you know, what it is that you really have in your heart. And they always supported us in everything that we did, you know, however they could. So, it wasn't like I never came from somewhere where, like, people told me, oh, you're not going to do this, you're not going to do that. I mean, of course, you'll have those outsiders, you know, who might say stuff like that. But I just know, to me, when I get focused on something where I really made up my mind, then it's just like I'm going to do this, whether it takes me 5 minutes or 5 months or, you know, 5 years. Like, I'm going to do it. And and that's the thing. So I definitely had my moments of doubt, and even like as an adult, you know, I still have them. But it's just when you really just have a vision, and it's something that you wake up every day, and it's on your mind. Obviously, it's there for a reason. And something that I heard somebody say one time is just like, you know how we all have ideas and stuff in our hearts that we want to do, but we sit around and we procrastinate on it, and then it's just like that same idea that you might have, you might see, you know, somebody else doing it. And that was only a way of, you know, God showing you that it's like, hey, look, you know, you taking your time, you BSing. So it's just like, you got to get out here and make moves. And that's what my mindset is. Why it's like, why I don't give up or, you know, get down or at least stay down, you know what I'm saying? But it's just like, cause, you know, you always get down to, like, man, I thought of that. Like, oh my God, they stole my idea. But it's like, hey,
that's
my thing.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I always think of that. There's like that quote, I think it's like Stephen King or something, that's like, talent is as cheap as table salt. And, right. you know, it's about the work, you know, because, yeah, it's exactly. like people can have great ideas, but if they're not doing anything with them, then it's up right. for grabs.
Exactly.
Talk to me about moving to LA and like, talk to me a little bit about that transition.
Oh,
and
man.
That whole world. Yeah.
Lord, oh Lord, where do I begin?
I know, right? How much time do we have?
Right. But just like, you know, I give you the 15-minute version. So pretty much, like I said, I moved out here in 2010, October 24th to be exact. I set my sights on how I found out even about moving out here, or what made me move out here. About 2008, I found a school out here, which I ended up attending and graduating from, but I found a school, the Los Angeles Recording School. I came out here for a visit one time with my brother. I actually came out here twice with him, and I don't know why. I just, like, all right, I visited the school. Like, why are you visiting school twice? Weirdo. but I feel like the thing was, it was just something about it that I was like, man, this seems like a cool environment. Though, to be honest with you, to be all the way honest with you, say, I really did not, just like the first time I got here, like, I just didn't like the vibe here. I was like, this just seems like it's too busy, it's too much, it's just like, LA is cool, the weather is nice, but maybe I'll probably just, you know, nah. But I just knew that it was something that I know I could build a career here. I could really build a solid network. And you know what I'm saying? It was endless opportunity here as long as you just really put yourself in position. Fast forward, I went to the school 2011. I started and I went there, whatever, did the program for 2 years. And then I graduated from there, 13. And I did that whole bit of, you know, the internships and, you know, the doing all the different things. And through that process, it was pretty interesting.
Does the school set up the internships for you, or do you have to go out and find the internships?
So it's a mix. It's you know, it's a mix of, you know, both. You know, as long as the resources are there to the school, and the school will provide that to you. However, mm-hmm. you just got to be willing to get up on your own and, you know, and find out or go, you know, approach who the person is. But you know, it's definitely there, and I can say that I have gotten connected with a lot of different things through my school. Like, that's how I became a member of the NARIS, the Recording Academy, was through the school, and they actually paid for my membership for like for 2 years. And then, you know, just from there, it was like different instructors who I had knew somebody that, you know, was within, you know, the industry that, you know, was looking for someone at the time, and that's how I kind of got a few internships. It really was a thing of, yeah, just getting out there and making yourself available and just maximizing the abilities within that time frame. And, I know a lot of students really didn't take advantage of that, at least the ones in my class, because they would always look at me like, dang, Chase, you be everywhere. You be on everything. Like, dude, like, we both go to the same school, the same people was like here. It's like, I just, you know, I pay attention to the little bullets and stuff on the wall, and y'all just walk past it, and y'all be outside getting high and everything like that. You know, I came always from Philly like that, man. Like, I had to sell dinners. I sold my car. Like, I gave up everything to come out here to do this. So it's just like, that's just like my motivated thing that just kept me focused and really just like maximizing my opportunities, opposed to just like coming out here and just, you know, plus I had to pay for it. So it was like, I still owe student loans, but I was just like, you know, I didn't want to just come out here and just like, you know, and just piss that, you know, time and opportunity away. So I just, every day I wanted to just find out and just what could I do to put myself in position to, you know, be moving, because this program is going to end at some point. Mm-hmm. So, but from there, you know, I just really wanted to, you know, get connected. And through that, you know, just having a good rapport, like I said, with some of my instructors, like, they would come to me, hey, Chase, you know, I like what you did on this project, and you know, this is interesting. You interested in doing an internship? Like that happens sometimes where it's like stuff would just come find me. Mm-hmm. And I know my first opportunity I got, I was engineering. I got the engineering session for a producer. He's from Philly, Andre Harris. He's the one half of the production duo, Dre and Vidal, and they did like timeless hits on Usher, Michael Jackson, Kurt Franklin. Like they pretty much like the whole neo soul era, like that came out of Philly with, you know, Jill Scott, The Roots, Floetry. Like those were the guys that were behind that, like Carvin and Ivan, and you know, Keith Pelzer and Jazzy Jeff. Like they all were under Jazzy Jeff at the time, and so Dre's been out here for a couple of years though, and Dre, I actually ran into Dre like years ago before I moved out here. But we ran into each other at the airport, and it just random. He just called me and was like, "Yo, I got a session. I got Sierra coming over.
Wow.
And I don't feel like doing a, you know, session. For you. I just want to focus
You're
on
like,
the production.
What? You don't feel like doing it? Right.
So he was just like, you know, he had a lot going on. So that was my first, you know, real introduction into. How I got on to something out here. And like I said, I did that. We did some stuff to Sierra that one day. And then the next day he called me back to do another session with this kid, Kevin Ross, that was signed to Motown at the time. And Kevin Ross has been doing some really awesome things, man. Really, really cool guy. I love his artistry. So those are like my first two like major gigs out here. And so I went on and did that, you know, moved around a lot in like 2013 was like my last year. Cause that happened in 2012, 2013, like, so it was my last year of school. I was, you know, getting to that point where I was like, all right, this is about to come to an end, but I'm hustling and, you know, still going to class and everything. And I, was one of my classes, I got approached by another instructor, Candace Kohler was her name. She was good friends with one of the main assistants with Tony Maserati. And at the time, he was looking for interns for his studio, you know, because he, you know, Tony is just always doing something. So that's how I kind of connected into that whole bit. Like, she sent me over there. I interviewed with them. And, you know, just coming off of that recommendation, which was, I guess, a high recommendation, she heard the, Faze, you know, which was the guy who interviewed me. He, you know, really liked my attitude, my vibe, and just like, oh, you seem like a really cool guy, you know. And then, you know, they gave me access, they gave me the door code to the studio, and just like, hey, you know, you come back, you know, because I know you got school this time, just give me your school schedule, and when you're done, you know, you could come here. And that was cool. And it was, I started like the week later, and that's how I kind of got in with Tony Maserati, and I interned with them for like 2.5 months, and that was a really interesting experience. And it was around the time when he was working on Robin Thicke's Blurred Lines album.
We
were doing that, yeah, and that album was like underwork, so it was like kind of cool because I got like some of the stuff that I was learning in my Pro Tools class at that time. I had to take that, and then I had to do it in prepping sessions for them to mix. For the album. So it was a couple songs on that album that, you know, I heard and that I had, and I had to kind of prep, you know, different plugins and different settings and stuff like that, and templates for them to go in and just do their thing. So that was a cool experience though. And then, you know, I got to work with some people over there as far as on production, a singer by the name of Judith Hill.
Yeah.
I work with her, her producer. I did some programming, and then another situation, like around that same time, like I, you know me, like, you know, us East Coast folks, not the West Coast people out here, because it's West Coast people that's hustlers, but I just know we just came out here because we come a long way. It's like, look, we need to be on everything. We like Jamaicans out here. We need to do a little bit of everything. So I actually got another internship working with a film composer. By the name of Christopher Leonard, and I met him actually at the school. I met him at the school when he did a panel. They did a film music or film TV panel or something like that. And real cool guy, and we exchanged info, and then it was like some odd months went on, and then it was like, I think that was like in November or something like that. He told me, he's like, you know, send me some of your stuff, but I might not get back to you soon. My wife's about to have a baby. But, you know, we'll keep in touch. I mean, just try to keep in touch with me as much as you can. And I mean, he's a busy guy. dudes that, you know, this dude scores, you know, like, probably about, like, 3 movies a year or, like, 2 TV shows. So that's a lot of work. So,
yeah.
So it's just like, you know, I kept up with him, and I ran into him again like that next year. I ran into him at a Grammy event, and he remembered me. And around that time, it was like probably about a month before I was about to graduate from school, he was like, "Yo, Chase, yeah, I remembered you. You know, the hip hop guy. You know, what you doing these days?" I was like, "You know, I'm just doing an internship over, you know, at this other studio, just like, you know, a couple of days out of the weekend, blah blah blah." So, "Oh, okay. Well, you know, I got this movie that I'm doing, and I thought about, you know, because you do hip hop, right?" And I'm like, "Wow, like, you do remember." So it's like, "Yeah." He's like, I did get a chance to listen to one of the links you sent me, and I really like how you program your drums. He's like, "You can't send me something else, because I think you might be the guy for this job." And
wow.
Lo and behold, did all that. And again, it's opportunity finding me. So, you know, we talked, sends me his personal email. And was like, "Yeah, send this to me because, you know, this is what da 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 in this for a movie. I think you might find it interesting." So he got it, and he sends me all his info, his contact. So I sent him the links, whatever, to what I did. And then, like, about 2 days later, I get a call from him. Driving down Laurel Canyon, like, down the hill. I'll never forget this. Driving down Laurel Canyon in my car, I get the phone. "Hello, who's this?" "Hey, Chase, it's Chris Leonard over at so-and-so. I'm sitting here, I'm listening to you," and I hear the music playing in the background. "Like, yeah, man, I'm really feeling how you program your drums and, like, your hip-hop stuff. So, look, this is what's going on. I'm working on this score right now for a movie called Ride Along. Ride Along, you know, starring Kevin Hart, Ice Cube,
Lawrence Fishburne.
Blah, blah, blah." So, okay. So he breaks it down. I'm like, "Yeah, so it's, like, these different scenes. I got this meeting with Tim Story. So you think you could do something like this for me, like in a day and a half? Like, I need you to program these 2 cues for me." So he sends them over. And that's when I was like, okay. And that was the first test. So I went home and I did it. Ended up, you know, going back, and then I sent them over, you know, all the stems and everything he asked me. He was prepared for his meeting. Tim heard it, and, you know, he liked the direction. And so then from there, Chris called me again after the meeting, like, "Hey, this is perfect. All right, next, we want you to come to the studio next week." So then that's what got me the invite over to the studio. And like I said, this is before, I was supposed to be interning with this guy, but now this is just like, "Oh, okay, well, we're going to bring you on this work for hire, you know," saying that the school, to do a program. So yeah. And then, like I said, I went on and did that whole bid. And then, you know, we did some stuff. Then they gave me a specific task. When I got to the studio, he introduced me to everybody, and I did that task over a couple of days. It was a lot of stuff that I had to do, like sound design stuff. Did it, and then sent it in by the time they needed it. And then Sunday was the master session at Warner Brothers. So then, you know, obviously it was good. And then, you know, and it was literally about like a couple of days before my graduation, because I graduated. I think like that Tuesday or something like that. I went up to Warner Brothers, and that was like, you know, my thing. And I was like, "All right, you're really in the movie." So I'm sitting here like watching the cues that I've been working on in my apartment to like on the big screen, and the whole 90-piece orchestra playing over. And I'm like, "Oh, snap."
Oh, that's so cool.
So that's what that's what was like a mind blowing thing. So that was all.
So talk to me a little bit about, because it's like, you know, I think that's the thing. It's you being open to all these different opportunities in terms of like, you know, I think for a lot of people, like I was saying earlier, it's like sometimes people get too fixated on like one goal. And it's like you could have easily been like, "No, I'm a rap artist. Like, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. I'm just going to like try to get as many opportunities as I can as a rap artist." But I feel like your approach was more like, "I've got all these different talents and all these different abilities, so that will all push me along the road in the industry. So I'm going to take these opportunities." Like, I feel like you're more, I don't even know if Pharrell would cover it, because it's like you're doing film composing as well as like producing as well as rap. So can you talk to me a little bit about that? Like, sort of how you viewed, you know, your road kind of thing with these different opportunities that seem to come from all different areas.
Well, it just seemed like for me, because, you know, the rap thing, of course, is, you know, that's what I started out as. But just, you know, like I said, just growing, I always had an ear for music. And I just knew that, you know, I just always heard things different. Even before I actually started pushing buttons and making beats and Logic and Reason, I was producing and I had no idea that I was doing that. I just, like, you know, when I was sitting in the studio with some of the producers who I worked with back in Philly, I would go to them with, like, songs that I wanted, you know, that I wanted them to sample for me. And I would just give them the parts, like, all right, I like this section, and I want you to chop this section right here and then put it with this. And I was, like, more so constructed a whole production, which I had no idea. But that's what really kind of shows me that I can do both aspects. But it was just getting to a point when you're just feeling something and you're feeling a vibe, or, you know, and then you got to kind of wait on people. And that's what kind of just, like, moves me into, like, all right, I just want to just jump in there and do my thing. I just don't want to be hindered. Like, I don't want to hinder the creative process. So that's what moved me into, like, the whole aesthetic of getting into production. And then when I saw that I was actually, you know, good at it, that's what encouraged me to come out here to take it a step further and become a professional. Just the whole aspect of, you know, with the television and film scoring, that was just something that I, you know, again, I just learned and just from watching. And I always had the, you know, the creative instincts. And just because I was always fascinated with when I go to the movies and, like, the low end and stuff like that, like, when you just hear something, just and it just sounds so big, like, oh, man, like, that was just always a fascination of mine.
Yeah.
So, like, but when I love how the music, like, the music just comes in there and really just, like, carries your emotion and really pulls you into that. And one thing, I'm like, well, this is Hollywood. This is where it happens at. You know, I want to learn how to do this. I mean, I have this instinct on how to create beats and things like that, but I want to, you know how to do that too. So it was a film sound class that I actually had. When I learned about the film class at the school, that was something that really got me, you know, my mind open to scoring. So we had to dissect this whole trailer that they gave us for an assignment. And we pretty much had to do, like, with five different departments that on an actual real, like, production, like, it's actual five different people that come together to make the whole post thing happen. But we had to pretty much do all their jobs. So, but getting into the whole thing of just adding in music that just, like, kind of moves to the scene and reading it, and then, you know, like, post sound and things like that, that's what, it was just fun because it was just so free. And it just really just, like, allowed me to just go in and just use my imagination. And then even with creating sounds, like, I would just, like, rub, like, I had this mic. I had, like, a boom mic, and then it was a recorder. I forget the name of it. And I would just, like, walking around Hollywood, like, they would tell us, like, yeah, just, like, today in this session in class, like, I was just going to record just random sounds and make it, and then we're going to show you how to go on Pro Tools and process it and make it sound like different stuff. So I, like, made, like, one where I was, like, ripped a piece of paper, and then I, like, rubbed, like, the top of the microphone and then mixed those together and made it sound like somebody was getting their throat slit. Like, what? And it was just, like, it was just stuff like that, but that would open my mind and, like, really, like, wow, this is cool. And so when I just took those stuff that I learned in class and I applied that to, you know, my abilities of just what I could do, it was just like, man, this is endless. And that's when, you know, I got in there and then just hanging with a lot of different composers and, you know, like I said, under guys like Chris Leonard and my guy Jonique and different people like that who I would just get around, ask questions, and who these guys have been groomed into this stuff since they were like 2 years old, you know, as far as just studying music. And just learning from them and just seeing how these guys score a film, I would just be a student. I'd just be a sponge and just soak up everything. Like when I watched Chris score Ride Along, and he would just have me sitting in the session while he was writing. Like, you know, I didn't talk to him much, but he was just like, you know, breaking his process down, and just I was just watching how he would do stuff, and then he would break down certain reasons of why he did it. And that's when I'm like, oh, okay. So my thing is, I'm still learning. But just really becoming, like, intentional and learning how to really do that. And, you know, I played a little piano growing up, but I didn't really stick with it to the point where it's like, you know, I was really, like, you know, a Mozart or something like that. But I understand what I understand. So that's what really kind of kept me, and that whole light of just staying in the production aspect from transitioning over, I should say. And then, of course, you know, I feel like it's just more control. A lot of times often, you know, artists are good. And, you know, when we kind of get get the last of it, because, I mean, it just seems like certain artists is like, they just like some, they may have their moment and then it's like, all right, then they're replaceable. And then it's just like, you know, unless you're like the superstar, which is just like very few of them. I guess that's for the side of the business that I've seen, just some artists. And that's why I kind of transitioned to something where it's like, all right, I mean, you can sing forever, but it's only a time where it's like, all right, you'll be in that age range. And it's like, you know, we get older. And then it's like, you know, they want fresh faces and things like that. Whereas, like, all right, if you're a producer or you're a composer, or, yeah, you know, something like that, it's just more something like you can sit behind that scene and, you know, nobody will know who you are, but they might know your work, and you can constantly just keep doing that. So I think that was another thing, too, that really kept me into, you know, transitioning into this field. And I know that sometimes I'm just not always inspired to really go out there and tour or, you know, go out there and perform or even, you know, write a record or something like that. But I've just been, you know, even if I write something for other people, which I've been doing now, like, so it just seems like, yeah, the artist thing is definitely always going to be there. And, but I just feel like it's just the production thing. I just feel like it's just been like coming to me naturally. And like, I've just been knocking off stuff with my eyes closed and not even realizing it. So.
Yeah, that's great. And again, I think that that's so smart because it is like an investment, you know, and you'll have artists that will flame out because if you've got, you know, everything riding on one hit song or one hit album, and then all the people that helped you create that find something better or move on, it's like, then what? What do you do?
Exactly. You know? And that's, yep. And that's exactly where I was like, I just didn't want to, you know, really get stuck in that whole predicament. Like I said, you and I both know it's a ton of artists that's happened to.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just more so just controlling your own situation.
Yep. Sort of like creative control and controlling your destiny.
That part.
Yeah. Well, we're running out of time, but why don't you just tell me what's coming down the pipe for you? What's 2018 hold for you? That kind of thing.
Oh man, 2018 is just looking like, oh man, it's looking so awesome right now. So like I said, right now, just got a few artists that I'm just working on with some TV stuff. Working with my little brother right now. His name is Wavy Jones. Just producing his album right now, and he's wrapping up. He'll be the star in the show called Unsolved Murders of Biggie and Tupac. So he'll be playing Biggie. That comes out February
27th. Wow, that's like a role of a lifetime.
That's like a role of a lifetime. So, I mean, he's playing a very, very iconic person. And it's been awesome. And just the writing and just that whole performance, like he's surprised. He's impressed a lot of people out here. And just to see the amount of love and gratitude that they have for him is just like, you know what I mean, it's amazing. And so, like I said, it's a pleasure to really have that, you know, had that opportunity, man, for, you know, me to get back with him, you know, and us now, we in the space. So working with him. So
you're producing the album, yeah? Are you writing some of the tracks or?
Yeah, so I'm pretty much writing a lot of the production there. We're both, you know, pinning stuff together. So you'll hear me. You'll hear me
excellent.
In and out of
excellent.
There.
Good.
And then, you know, still working on writing music for Young and the Restless. We're still doing that whole bit. And then, you know, just, you know, it's endless. We're doing a lot of things. And then I just got a few other artists and other situations I don't want to speak on. But like I said, it's just 2018 is looking like a really, really great, great year. So I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I know your work's been featured in feature films and short films. Where can people follow you?
So you can follow me on Instagram and all that stuff. Go Chase Flow is the handle. Same thing on Twitter. But then, you know, the like page, Chase Flow. And then, you know, ChaseFlow.com. We're actually working on revamping the Chase What Matters website. So Chase What Matters is my company, you know, indie label. So, like I said, we're revamping that for the top of the year, but that's usually CWMMG, but that's under construction right now, so don't go there. But you can follow us on Instagram under CWMMG or Chase What Matters Music Group on Facebook. So we're on there as well.
Okay, cool. And they can check out tracks and other stuff you've done for film and stuff like that. Okay,
exactly, cool. Yep.
Well, I hope you have a very Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year. And I'm so grateful that you took the time today to speak with us about your incredible journey. And I know you're just getting started, so I'm excited to see how it continues to unfold.
Yes, yes. I love you, man. And everybody that's listening, y'all got to check out my girl. Like, we got a song together called Valentino. I'm sure, I don't know if she plays it, but I appreciate her for even reaching out and putting me on the song. So we got history.
We do. We have
We go way back to the Grammys rehearsal.
I know. So good. So good, so good. I hope you enjoyed that interview. It was just so full, chock full of good stuff and inspiration and just such a great journey that he's been on and continues to evolve, you know, and just keep those eyes open, keep those opportunities flowing, keep an open mind, I think, and you will go places. And remember, you can reach him at chaseflow.com or on Instagram and Twitter at GoChaseFlow. So, and check out his EP and all the things he's got cooking. Really good. Okay, babies, end of 2017. I want to thank you so, so much for being a part of this little podcast. And I want to say thank you to all my amazing, wonderful guests for all their incredible advice and insight and inspiration and empowerment. I think there's just so much to be learned from people that have walked the path before us. And I hope if you haven't had a chance, you know, maybe over the Christmas break, do a little listening to the previous episodes in the podcast. They're all up on musicjobspodcast.com and obviously up on Google and iTunes. So, remember, everybody, for 2018, what are we going to do? We're going to keep on hustling. We're going to pursue that dream, and we're not going to give up. Peace and love.